You're listening to Nick Luck Daily, bringing you the latest news and the best interviews from around the world of horse racing. This episode is brought to you by the Racehorse Owners Association, by Thoroughbred Racing Commentary's Global Rankings in partnership with the Saudi Cup, and by the Fitzdares Club. Hi there, you've tuned into the Nick Luck Daily Podcast. I hope you're enjoying our daily offering of the latest news, best interviews and sharpest insight from the world of thoroughbred horse racing. Pleased to bring you now episode 9 of the Bloodstock Bulletin, which we bring you in association with Tattersalls. Let's head over to your host, Gina Bryce.
Hello and welcome along to another edition of the Bloodstock Bulletin. I'm Gina Bryce and thanks for joining us as together with Tattersalls we continue in the second part of the series to look ahead to the Craven Breeze Up sale. It's almost here. Vendors will largely already be on their way to Newmarket, where on Monday their finely honed juveniles will take to the Rowley Mile for their all-important breeze before the sale begins with two evening sessions on Tuesday and Wednesday. So how are the vendors feeling ahead of this first two-year-old sale of the year? Nervous, most likely, as they endeavour to make sure all the hard work over the winter pays off with a good breeze, but perhaps optimistic as we look ahead to owners returning to the racecourse and hopefully inching back towards some sort of normality this summer. And that is when graduates of this sale will head to the racecourse, all hopeful of securing a share of the new £250,000 Craven bonus. Well, I'll be finding out a little bit more from two very well-respected consigners, Mick Murphy of Longways Stables and Matt White of Bushy Park Stables, who both head to Newmarket from Ireland with a targeted approach to this year's sale. And touching upon the sought-after bonuses offered at Tattersalls, I'll also be catching up with owner Mike Spence, who together with his father Alan enjoyed a notable windfall of two such bonuses when sourcing the exciting Top of the Pops at this sale last year. We'll find out more about his plans shortly, and we'll hear a little more from Tattersalls marketing manager Jason Singh on how buyers will be facilitated at this year's sale. But first, as we head into what is now episode 9 of the Bloodstock Bulletin, I thought it might be time to call up the in-house Bloodstock agent, Alex Elliott of Elliott Bloodstock Services, and my other half. I think we all know which role is probably more taxing, but we won't go into that now, thankfully. Now, you've just come back from a little week-long trip to South Beach, escaping the chaos of the Easter holidays, supposedly for the big two-year-old Miami sale over there, I'm sure, very essential travel only. Just tell us a little bit about how it went and what, if any, pointers could be gleaned from that as we head into our first two-year-old sale here on home soil.
Yeah, Miami was great, good to get away. And I see when I came back, you even asked for snow to make me even more miserable coming home. But it was a very strong sale. There was lots of different buyers, from Japanese to the Coolmore Group and a few of the American farms. So I think there's a hunger out there to buy horses, and I think that'll spill over to some degree. I think it's going to be polarized, like all these markets seem to be. But no, it's hopefully those buyers come to Newmarket next week.
We all know there's a lot of differences between how the breeze ups work in the States and here in the UK. But what are the main ones for you, and what, if any, of the factors or methods they use over there would be useful or you'd like to see kind of introduced over here perhaps?
Well, I think one of the main differences in American racing to European racing is that there's a lot less variables in America. So all the tracks are basically a mile round, ovals, and there's much more emphasis on speed in American racing. For example, a slow horse at the American Breeze is generally a slow horse, and people just put them straight in the bin. A slow horse in Europe, as we've seen with the likes of Libertarian and Trip to Paris, can be extremely valuable commodities. And, you know, even to the likes of Anthony Bromley and Alan King, they go looking for slow horses. So I think with the main aspect of America being on speed, then obviously the clock is vitally important. It's important in both places, but I think there's a lot more emphasis on it over there than maybe there is here.
Do you think there's room for official times here, for example, or a more onus on the clock?
It's a real can of worms, the official timing here. I know that some people want it and some people don't, and I think Brendan Holland's argument against it is a very reasonable one. I think maybe to add a bit more transparency and a bit more meaning to the breezes than an official clock isn't the worst thing in the world. In America, they're officially clocked for a furlong or for a quarter. So they have the option there of going one furlong or two furlongs, which is something that I've been quite vocal in my opinion that it should come in over here. I think you could have your sharp horses breezing a furlong, because what people don't see that don't know the system is that we actually time the horses over here unofficially for two furlongs, but it's more than that because we do the gallop out. So a horse has to breeze 2.5 furlongs here. But that means that everything gets chucked into the same bracket. You've got your Kodiaks and your Ades, and your, this year you'll have the Ardads. They'll be breezing the same distance as, say, a See the Stars. And I just feel that it would be very sensible to give the consigners options of breezing a furlong, which isn't really a furlong because we do the gallop out, or two furlongs. And we're going to get much more of a separation, and it isn't going to be all on the same clock and the same time. The horses that do the sprinters aren't going to be put in the same brackets as the distance horses. Now, obviously, as the professionals, we separate all that out. But I just think I think we need to be progressive, and I think we need to be open-minded. And I think if we're not going to get official timings, then let's change something else. Each track is different. You've got the flat 2 furlongs of Arcana and the flat 2 furlongs of Goffs. Yet Newmarket is probably the toughest breeze, and it's a real test on the horses, and the good horses come to the fore.
And with that in mind, you found some good horses last year out of the sale. Tell us a little bit about the story behind Devil Waller and Sir Maxi, who both did very well last year.
So last year was very difficult for everybody concerned. The breeze was put back into June, which for the vendors I think was very hard, you know, to keep a lid on those horses. And a lot of horses that are kind of maybe going past the sell-by date that should have been breezed in the spring with a view to making Ascot. To do what they did was very good. We had a couple of horses put up to us privately, one of which was Devil Waller by Roger O'Callaghan of Tallyho Stud. And he turned up at the Craven last year, which was held in June. And I think he breezed 12th fastest. It did a good breeze. And at the time, I was working in conjunction with Blandford on the horse to buy the horse for Amara Racing, Tom Biggs of Blandford. And he broke his maiden on debut. He went on to be second in the Gimcrack. He then moved to Rafe Beckett, and on Rafe, first start for Rafe, he was fourth in the Dewhurst on the Rowley Mile, which is where he breezed. And he's gonna come back in the Craven next week. So there's a horse that's ticked all the boxes, jumped through all the hoops, and he's shown the durability that a lot of these good breeze up horses do.
And Sir Maxi?
Sir Maxi was a horse we gave $150,000 for. He won a couple of races last year. I think he's going to be a very progressive sprinter this year. He's been gelded. He's by Ade, who himself was a Craven breezer that was bought by Shadwell a few years ago, and he had a good first season last season, and Sir Maxi was one of his flagship horses. And I think the reports are good from Rafe, and he's another horse for Amara Racing that I think is going to do well this year.
And it is that time of year when we start seeing those first season size new stallions hit the track. In the breeze ups, you'll in particular get to see plenty of those. Are there any on your radar at the moment that you're quite excited to see how they breeze, or you're hearing good things about?
You think I've just done the catalogue for the Craven next week, and I think what is interesting, and obviously these sales companies have to keep innovating to stay ahead of the competition, and I think the bonus that we heard about in the last podcast, the $250,000 for winning an Ascot race or a Group 1, the race is on for that, and I think you've definitely seen that in the pedigrees this time round. Tattersalls have done away with the Ascot sale. And I think with the bonus and with doing away with the Ascot sale, you're seeing a much more precocious type come to the Craven, on pedigree anyway. Often it would be a bit more of a classic type of horse. This time I think you're seeing these sharper horses. So you've got the Ardads in there, there's Ribchesters in there. And Ardad had his first winning yesterday. Ribchester is a horse that I'm looking forward to. Churchill is another one that's in there. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to give us a chance. I don't suppose Churchill is going to have a two-year-old runner before the Craven. We're going to see his progeny before they hit the track.
So you've had a look at the catalogue. How does the process of selection then work from there?
Well, the first things first, I always do a tour of Ireland, and I missed it last year, but this year I was able to go. So I've seen some of these horses on the farm. Generally a chance to speak to the vendors and see what they're thinking, see what they're liking. They've obviously then got to go to the breeze, and the breeze is all important. I mean, you've got to cut your cloth to how it fits, but obviously if you've got a cheaper order, you can't be buying the horse that does the fantastic breeze, that then has the pedigree, that then has the right pull out, that then vets. You're going to have to be giving on something. So a lot of it is your budget, but the breeze, if you've got a good budget, the horse has to breeze. That is the aim of the game. We watch all the breezes without knowing the clocks, but generally, I mean, if you looked at and you graded them A, B, C, your A's on your eye would have done a good time. They're the horses that move good. They're the horses that do everything right. They're the horses that hit the line strong. But there are horses that make mistakes in the breeze, and you've got to, if you can forgive that, if your budget isn't that great, and you have to forgive that. So once the breeze is over, we get the times, we then go through it, we've graded them A, B, C, and then we'll go round all the horses, we'll pull them out, we'll see which horses have maybe bucked a shin, or which horses haven't been able to handle the breeze, or which horses is good looking, and everything adds up. But if everything adds up, you're going to have a big cannon to fire, because you're going to run into the likes of Coolmore, you're going to run into the likes of Godolphin. If you haven't quite got the big ticket, you've got to box clever. And if boxing clever might mean there might be a small vet issue, or there might be, you know, the horse might be a B breeze as opposed to an A breeze.
There are some horses that have slipped through, as you've said in the past, you know, that haven't necessarily done the fastest times, but they've maybe galloped out well. Presumably that's something you're always looking for as well.
Yeah, you are looking for it, but I think a lot depends on your orders. For example, as I've said before, Alan King and Anthony Bromley, they go to buy a horse that's going to be a little bit more middle distance, rather than a horse that's going to be a speedball. And they find value in that. They found Tritonic. They found the Planter horse. They found numerous horses because that is what their angle is. Other people find very good horses because they've got a big budget. Other people, you know, I always feel that the less money you have, the luckier you have to get. So,
brilliant. Well, I hope you have an enjoyable little 4, 5, 6 day trip to the Craven. Is it this year?
Yeah, I don't know how long we'll make it. We'll see how everything's going at home, I suppose.
Good luck. Hopefully, you can find a good one. Yep, no pressure, just the kids' school fees. But we are going to speak to a man now who did land a notable touch at the Tattersall's Guineas Breeze Up sale a few years ago, with the sale of Palace House winner Far Above. Now this year, Matt White of Bushy Park Stables brings his draft to this sale, and I started by asking him why.
Yeah, I decided to go this year, and I decided a good bit out that I would go to the Craven with them, because they're by. One's a showcasing, a nice horse, and the other's an Exceed and Excel, and he's a nice horse as well. And I just felt I'd head to the Craven, because if you've a nice horse and if you go to the Craven, you'll get well paid for him, I should say, you know. And the main reason was, a couple of years back, I had a nice horse, and I said to myself, I'd rather be a small fish in a small pond, and I should have gone to the Craven with him. I didn't go to the Craven. I went to the Guineas, and that horse turned out to be Far Above.
Yeah, and that was a fantastic result for really put you on the map. I know you sourced the horse for just 18,000 at Book 3, a horse by far. Tell us a little bit about how you managed to do that. And obviously, for those that don't know, you went on to sell him for 105,000 at the Guineas, and he turned out to be a very good horse. But how did you find him for just 13 grand?
Yeah, I suppose, really, listen, everybody knows, most of us breeze up guys, that we go around sourcing our yearlings from Fairy House to Sportsman's, the Orby, into the UK and France. And there was a year previously that I liked a horse. He was a Footsteps in the Sand horse, and I seen the horse, and we were having a drink in the bar earlier that evening with a couple of my mates, and they said, "Oh, listen, you've enough done. And a good consigner, he says to me, "Listen," he says, "if you like the horse," he says, "go out and buy the horse yourself." And I did. I went out and bought that horse myself, and he proved to be a good horse. Charlie Gordon Watson bought him back off me, the two-year-old. I bought him for 10 grand, and he turned into 120 grand breezer. turned out to be a good horse as well. I think he was raced in the 90s or something like that. And that was the moment I realised if I wanted something, I was just going to do it myself.
Yeah.
And I literally go through a lot of them sales on my own, and I just source them and just try and move through them as quick as I can. And I seen the fire horse in Jamie Railton's, and he was nothing against Jamie's operation on him, but the horse did just look a little bit rawish looking. He was quite, he was big and immature, but there was just something I liked about him. He'd loads of bone, which is lovely. I like a horse with bone, and he'd loads of bone. And I suppose maybe fire wasn't over fashionable at that stage, but what I liked about him was he was out of a Charme d'Almeyer, and it was very unexposed, which is another thing I like to do, try and buy them unexposed. And sure, listen, the rest is history with him, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is. He now stands as a stallion and has a bright future, hopefully. Just when you're trying to narrow down those numbers at the yearling sales, because you know you've got to wade through so many, and if you're working on your own, that is no mean feat. How do you narrow it down before you get to the sale, or do you look at as many as possible?
First of all, what I do is I'll just, I'm stallions. I'll just try and pick the fashionable stallions to start with. And then from there, I'm just, rather than just picking out pedigrees, I pretty much leave the catalogue in my back pocket, and I just start. I start at the A or Solaria or whatever the case may be, and just work through them the day before. I don't overface myself looking at the horse two or three times. Once, twice, that's pretty much enough for me at this stage now, you know. And just get a good photographic memory, and after that, then it's try and find value. Value for our game is very important, because listen, you've a very, very tight window with what we've got to do. I was on the car there last week, and I was met a couple of trainers, and they said to me, listen, we've all you with our 2-year-olds, you've only one day with yours. And that just puts it into perspective. We've only got one day to get a result with our horses, and we've got to be very, very select in what we buy. Very select.
And with that in mind, I mean, what sort of build-up, when you get the horse home from the yearling sales, what sort of build-up goes in and preparation goes into getting them and arriving in the tip-top shape for that one day? Do you back off them? Do you turn them out? Do they go straight into work? How does the few months leading up to the sale work?
Yeah, generally when I get them home, I'll just let them settle in for a fortnight or thereabouts. And then after that, it's just nice and slowly. I'm probably a little bit old-fashioned when it comes to breaking them. I give them loads of time when I'm breaking them. Just loads of time. The figures of eights, the diagonals, the usual stuff. Just get them nice and balanced underneath you. And then for the month of December, it's just saddle and bridle off and just back off them completely. Back off them completely. Just let them mentally and physically develop. And then it's 1st of January onwards, is just gradually just start training them like race horses and building them up like you do from year to year. Generally don't change it around a whole lot.
And you've got two going to the Craven this year, the Showcasing Colt and the Exceed and XL Colt. Just tell us how their development's been and how pleased are you ahead of the sale, obviously keeping our fingers crossed at this early stage.
Yeah, the Showcasing, I bought the Showcasing off Ed. Gave 30 grand for him. He was a nice horse, and just like that as well. He was a little bit immature mentally and physically when I bought him. And he has done nothing only develop. Mentally, he has improved a huge amount in the last 6 weeks. Oh, I'm really, really impressed with his mental development. He's taken his work very well, and he's just really doing things the right way in the last 6 weeks, which is wonderful for me now and wonderful for the horse. And the Exceed and XL, I got him in Fairy House, which was AKA, that was shipped over to Newmarket. I paid, I think it was 24 for him or thereabouts. Nice quality animal, but just a different type. He's probably going to be your 7 furlong horse at the back end of the year. Mentally, he's not there yet, so I'm not really overfacing him, because I find it's not fair on the horse. And at the end of the day, I've got to try and sell race horses. It's hard. We've got to try and sell a breeze up horse, but we kind of, I want to try and make a race horse out of him at the same time, you know. So I don't expect he's going to absolutely blitz the clock out of it, because I'm not doing that to him. He's just, he's going to be your later type of horse now, you know.
And how much sort of trepidation and apprehension do you have about the market this year, given what we've all been facing over the last 12 months? Are you quite optimistic that it will bounce back this year?
Sure. Listen, we were probably a little bit more apprehensive going into last year, because it was kind of all new to us, and it was kind of the fear factor, I suppose, last year. And listen, we sailed through it, and some people got a few touches. Listen, I traded back out of it, which was a great result. If somebody had told me the week beforehand, I was going to train out of the year, I'd have been delighted, and I was delighted to train back out of the year. I think this year is going to be better. For some reason, I think this year is going to be better. The fact that we've got this whole COVID thing under control, well, not fully under control, but we understand it better. And the fact that we've got owners going back racing in Great Britain there now in the foreseeable future, that's a big plus. I think once owners, because owners are the backbone of the game, they're the guys, no more than myself, that you put your hand in your pocket and you buy the beast, and they're the guys that are really supporting the game, and I think they're fully entitled to see their horse race, and or they should at least be able to get into the trainer's yard and see their horses anyway, like, you know.
Yeah, I think everyone's gunning for a bit of action on the track, so hopefully that'll go through to the Breeze Ups, and of course that bonus, the new Craven Breeze Up bonus will be a help as well.
It's a huge help for anybody, because if you're buying the horse and to go on and get your horse to win his maiden and with all them bonuses, I think it's a huge incentive. It's we need incentives to get owners in and to keep owners in and to get new owners into the game, and that's what it's all about really, isn't it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, wish you the best of luck with the pair in the next few weeks. Matt, thank you so much for updating us.
Yeah, but you listen, hopefully I'll be talking to you afterwards as well, and it'll be all good as well.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, that's it. When you've topped the sale, look forward to it.
Well, listen, if we get close, we'll be happy, you know?
Well, best of luck to Matt with the draft. Well, one buyer who did manage to hit it right at last year's sale was Mike Spence, who alongside his father Alan and trainer Mark Johnson picked out Lot 142, a Kingman colt who they secured for 60,000 guineas. He turned out to be a horse called Top of the Pops, and I asked Mike to tell us more.
He was a bit of a lucky purchase in the way that it came around buying him. We sold one of the fillies, West End Girl, through the first Tattersalls online sale a few weeks before the Craven, and decided to go again at the Breeze Up sales. We're always looking for a horse which is very well bred, with the physical to match, which can sometimes be hard, but Top of the Pops seemed to fit the bill, being a Kingman and very well bred himself, and he didn't cost very much, which was quite nice.
Yet he went on to earn you 50,000, was it, or thereabouts, through various bonus schemes. Tell us how he ended up winning two bonuses, right? The Book One bonus from being sold as a yearling, and then the Craven bonus on top of that.
Exactly that. So he was not sold, or he went through the ring in Book One. And as a result was qualified for the Book One bonus, and then as he went through the Craven sale, he was also qualified for the Craven sale. So he was the first horse, as far as I'm aware, to ever win those two bonuses, and with the prize money and also the plus 10 bonus, he picked up 59,000 for winning a Leicester maiden, which was very enjoyable, considering he only cost 60,000 guineas.
Yeah, that's what we're all trying to do, isn't it? And not only that, but he looks to have quite an exciting future ahead. How has he wintered, and what are the plans for him this year?
He's done very well. He was a late foal. He wasn't born until the 21st of May. So he was up against it to sort of be ready to run, let alone win as a two-year-old. And we thought that anything he sort of did last year would be a bonus. He's done well. He's not the biggest horse, and he hasn't put on a huge amount of weight, but he's no sort of different to what he was last year when he won. And he seems to have a lot of natural ability. I actually saw him gallop last week, and he went very well on his first bit. I think he'll hopefully be ready to run in about 10 days or 2 weeks.
And do you have a kind of campaign plotted out at this early stage?
I do. It's a very ambitious one. I quite would like to either, if he doesn't run at the Craven meeting, he'll head for the Isha Cup. And if he were able to win then, which I think he's off a very good mark, but you can bump into anything in these races. If he was to win then, I'd be quite keen to go for the 10 furlong handicap on Derby Day, which I think is a good target to aim for.
Well, exciting times ahead with him. And you mentioned, obviously, that, well, you say he was a lucky purchase. There's a lot more that goes into identifying these horses. You teamed up with Mark Johnson to do so. Just talk us through how you go about selecting these Breeze Up horses and what input you have into it.
So it's the same as the yearling sales. For us, we do it slightly differently to other people, and I guess everyone has their own methodology. It's a bit of a team effort in that I'll go through the catalogues and go through the pedigrees, and then on the ratings and the judgment I have of their siblings and sort of the mum, but mainly what the half brothers and sisters do, I'll pick out a slight shortlist, as well as looking at the times, and then I won't actually have anything to do with the horse or the physical itself. And if my list of horses corresponds with the list of physicals and the horses that someone like Mark Johnson likes, then we'll take another look at the horse. And given the pedigree of the horse here, he, Top of the Pops, he was an obvious one that stuck out, being a half brother to Poet's Word. And he just seemed to tick the boxes for Mark as well. He was the classic horse that Mark Johnson likes to buy and that he's got a very good pedigree. And while he was very backwards and late maturing, there was nothing wrong with him physically. So we took a chance on him.
Yeah, he's so good at that, isn't he, Mark? His modus operandum that pays off more often than not. And just talking more specifically about the timing and the background research that you're doing, is that something you can then use times, for example, in what you're doing on a daily basis, you know, trying to find angles on the betting front?
A bit. There is so much emphasis now on sort of the fastest horse being the one with the most ability, which makes obvious sense that it tends to be reflected in their price tag. But there are definitely different ways you can do things, especially not only from buying them, but also when they are racing themselves. It, you know, if they're clocking a relatively average time, but they're a horse which isn't bred to be very quick or early, a bit like Top of the Pops, to be honest, given he would have been so young compared to the other two-year-olds, you can forgive them quite a lot of the time and also improve them. So if they're, it's all comparative, really, as long as they're clocking a reasonably respectable time. I think you can have a good angle to looking at where they might be able to rock up later on in their lives.
Yeah, I always think it's one of those that if you can latch onto a sale where the times are all working out, you can sometimes be ahead of the bookmakers, which is always an unusual feat, probably more usual for you than it is for me, Mike. But yeah, there's a few angles in where you can use that information, isn't there?
Yeah, I think that's definitely the case. Finding a good sale is obviously very hard before you go to the sale, but some of the sales can be very good sales to follow throughout the year.
And just before we let you go, obviously, hopefully another strong team of horses for the Spence Colours this year. Is there any we should keep an eye on, any to look out for?
I think we've got quite a lot of two-year-olds this year, so it's quite hard to really pin down one. Top of the Pops definitely would have been my horse that would improve through the year, just because he was such a late two-year-old. But I think Positive, he's a very good horse with Clive Cox. He ran his best race last year in the St. James's Palace, and he was a bit unlucky not to finish closer, remarkably behind Palace Pier, Pinatubo and Wichita. But he would have been closer with a clear run that day, and we just never felt we had him right again after that day. But he's had a long winter off, and I think he is a very exciting horse. He won't be out too early. And then hopefully we might try and find a little stepping stone before the Queen Anne if we have enough time.
So exciting plans ahead for the whole Spence team, and no doubt it will not have escaped their notice that in this year's catalogue, not only are all lots eligible for the regular £15,000 Craven Breeze Up bonus alongside the newly introduced £250,000 Royal Ascot Group 1 bonus, but 9 lots are also eligible for the Tattersall's October Book 1 bonus, which Top of the Pops availed of last year. Now, 2 of those 9 eligible horses are consigned by Longways Stables, and I spoke to the operations Mick Murphy to find out how he's feeling ahead of this year's sale.
Very nervous, Gina. Yes, we're happy so far. Everything seems that we've seen the touch wood. We've had a clear run of it. So we've our biggest draft for the Craven. We've 6 this year, 2 fillies and 4 colts. So with a bit of luck, we've something that would suit most people.
Yeah, it's such a small window of opportunity, isn't it, to get them to turn up and do that breeze. How nervous are you when it gets to the big day, and how much, you know, confidence can you have in the prep that you've been able to do at home? How much homework do you do with them for that, and how well does it prepare them for it?
We prepare them as best we can, but we are always very nervous. You know, you don't get a second go at it. You've one breeze. Obviously, you have your practice breeze the day before, but you only get one go at the actual breeze. And simple little things, you know, laser or the crowd can put some horses off, get knocked off balance, and the fractions are, you know, can make an awful difference, things like that.
So, is temperament quite an important thing when you're selecting those horses, therefore?
Temperament is very important for breeze-ups. It's important for all race horses, but temperament, we love, I know some people like to talk and never, I love watching horses, the breeze, how to take the whole build-up down at the start and the breeze. I think there's a number of things that go into it, but temperament is very, very important.
Yeah, and just rewinding back to the yearling sales, when you come to select your horses for breeze, how do you narrow them down, Mick? How do you go about selecting those horses, you know, in addition to temperament?
Well, pedigrees, like we kind of, I suppose the breeze have changed a little bit the last 10 years. It's not all about speed. So now you have, you know, our list will be bigger every year because we'll be looking from 5 furlongs up to 7 furlongs or a mile. And obviously, like everyone else, we like the sexy sires. Sire power is very important. But myself and my wife, Sarah, we do the catalogues when they come out and just try and basically just nice, you know, pedigrees, precocious pedigrees if possible. And just for try and get the list done as, you know, as best we can before we get to the sales. But then when we get there, it's all about the physical.
And is there a level of investment that you in particular, bracket, you're looking at price-wise, and do you then identify your Craven horses versus some of the other breeze-ups at that early stage, or is it more as they come to hand?
No, it's always as they come to hand. We try and buy the individuals that we like first. My wife says I spend way too much, especially this year in a tricky year. But we try and, you know, the physical individual always come first, and then we'll decide in the spring, see how they're coming along. And there's a number of things go into it, factors like the date of birth, and, you know, if they need more time, obviously we push them to the later sales. But like I said, there's a few different things that we try and sort out before we make up our mind where we're going.
Yeah, and you mentioned it was a tricky year for everyone, very uncertain terms, even just getting them to the later sales last year. This sale comes a little bit earlier. How difficult has it made your job, and how much have you had to alter what you do, or have you very much stuck to your guns?
Well, last year was very tricky because the sales were pushed back, whereas this year, you know, we've known for a while that they're more or less going ahead of schedule. Last year was very tricky trying to balance it. And the weather was better, so we were lucky. We were to leave a lot of our breeze up horses. We left them off for 3 and 4 weeks last year before the breeze up. In the middle of prep, we just let them down completely. But this year we've had a clear run. We obviously, with COVID and Brexit this year, there's a lot more involved. Logistics, a lot of paperwork. It's been a nightmare, all the paperwork at the moment. But look, it is what it is. And we just hopefully get them. We ship out tomorrow evening. So hopefully we get there in one piece.
And despite the delays to the sale last year, you did have a very good result out of it. Just tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, we've been lucky. We've sold the Royal Ascot winner out of Breeze Ups, which was, you know, a big feather in our cap. But yeah, last year we sold Mohawk King. He had 4 runs, he won twice, and he ended up with a rating of 100. And I think he would make a very nice 3-year-old. Richard Hannon has him. But he wasn't the biggest horse in the world. I always thought he'd be nice at 3-year-old.
So he's one we definitely need to keep an eye on this year.
Yeah, hopefully
there'll be another good one among them. Which are you most excited about? Obviously, we don't want to tempt fate before they breeze, but you're happy with the bunch in general, I should probably say.
Yeah, it was like asking, pick your favourite child. yes, look, I think we have 6, 2 fillies. I'll just give a quick run, so I don't leave any of them out. And now that filly, she's a half-sister, Sporting Chance, Group 3 winner, the Oasis Dream. Is our black type mare who won 3 races. Nona Never Colt is the first foal of a dam that won twice, and she's from the dam is from the family of Eastern Angel. I think he's a pretty nice horse. And Nemus Colt, probably our sharpest colt. Dam is 4 winners from 5 runners and from the family of Reference Point. I said, I think on homework he's probably our sharpest horse. A very nice Knight of Thunder colt. The dam is a full sister to champion sprinter Fleeting Spirit. I think he's very nice. I think he's more of a 7-furlong horse, but I think he's very nice. And then we've a Sayuni colt. I think he'll be a lovely horse for the second half of the year. Again, he's our black type mare. and he's a half brother to Group 2 winner Mississippi, and she was also Group 1 placed. So I think we have a nice draft this year. Like I said, it's our biggest number for the Craven.
Yeah, and is that bonus that was introduced been a factor for you in terms of your investment coming into this sale? Has it made you kind of look for a more precocious horse, given it's a Royal Ascot Group 1 bonus, or was that the type of horse you were already looking for?
Well, that type of horse we look for anyway, but I think the bonus is a great incentive. I think it's a very good idea, and that is the reason why we have doubled our draft. Like last year we had 3, this year we have 6, so we've doubled our draft from last year solely because of the bonus. I think it's a very good idea, and I think it deserves being supported.
Well, that will be welcome news to the team at Tattersall's as they look ahead to Tuesday. And of course, we cannot get away from the fact that we are still working under the current countrywide restrictions. So I caught up with the Tattersall's marketing manager, Jason Singh, and started by asking him how the sale will work this year.
We're looking to return to a little bit more normality than we sort of were encountering earlier in the year. We are still under a degree of lockdown here in the UK. So whilst we will be allowing attendance both at the Breeze and at the sale here in Park Paddocks, it will be restricted to people who have, business to do only. So unfortunately, we won't be able to take spectators, so to speak. But I think it everybody's just thrilled that that we're able to hold a live sale and to have buyers and vendors in attendance at that sale. So yeah, looking forward to it.
And if people, particularly international clients, can't attend the sale, what are the avenues open to them?
Yeah, it is, as everybody knows, coming to England at the moment isn't particularly easy. Probably the easiest country to come from is Ireland, where there aren't any restrictions coming into England at the moment. But for everybody else, if they're not willing to do a period of quarantine, which some, I think, hopefully will elect to do, then, we've got a live internet bidding platform and telephone bidding to help them. And the internet bidding platform has really taken off in 2020, just because of the needs of everybody to be able to have an alternative to actually attending a sale. And we've got more than 2,000 registered buyers on that platform now from more than 30 different countries. And 2020 we had more than 500 lots sold to internet bidders, so really been fully embraced by everybody, which has been fantastic.
And we're well used to using the usual channels on the website to watch the Breeze. That all available, the Sales Day Live blog and the Live Breeze?
Yeah, absolutely. We will be broadcasting the Breeze live on our Sales Day Live platform, which is a YouTube stream. You'll be able to watch it on the Tattersall's channel on YouTube as well, and we will also be broadcasting it on our Facebook page. So you will see everything that you need to on those two platforms. I think the other thing that we're offering again, which we've been offering throughout 2020, is telephone bidding. If anybody isn't confident using the live internet bidding platform, we are happy to help them out. A TATS member of staff can help them bid with them on the telephone. They just need to make sure they're registered buyers here and, fill out an authority to act form, and we will take care of the rest and bid with them over the telephone.
And obviously 2020 was unprecedented circumstances, and you've had to change things around and think of new innovations at Tattersall's to accommodate those changes. What have been some of the main changes that you'll maintain going forward, Jason?
Yeah, well, I think one of the things that has been born out of the pandemic has been the development of online sales, and we've been very happy with Tattersall's online, our online offering so far. We've held 3 sales now, held an Eve of Ascot sale last June, which saw the sale of Western Girl for £420,000, which was fantastic. And most recently we held the March 23rd online sale, which went very well. I think the the thing is that the online sales, the online, what we like to call the sort of an online timed auction, I think they're here to stay, and I think they'll become part of our suite of sales. You know, amongst our live sales, there'll also be online sales. You know, it's a low cost outlet for sellers, and also they tend to be a little bit more flexible. So if somebody's got a nice horse that they want to sell fairly quickly, then it's the sort of thing that we can organise at a fairly short notice, and accommodate them.
Yes, the world is changing, and many of those changes are here to stay, but hopefully to make our lives a little bit easier. Now, if you can't be in attendance at the sale, you've all heard the ways you can get involved, but also I'll be bringing you interviews and a sales review on the Tattersall social media platforms as well, so do look out for that. Well, it all gets underway on Monday the 12th, selling on Tuesday the 13th and Wednesday the 14th. Hope you've enjoyed this episode, and we look forward to welcoming you back for another edition of the Bloodstock Bulletin soon. Goodbye for now.